Fred Film Radio.
For today's Big Fred Tuesday, I'm absolutely honored to be speaking with the director of one of the most powerful films that I have seen in a very long time. Wahed Al-Khatib's documentary For Sama has been described as an intimate and epic journey into the female experience of war, but this is also her story, seen through first-person perspective of living through 5 years of the uprising in Aleppo, Syria, during which, as the conflict rises around her, she falls in love, gets married, and gives birth to a little daughter named Sama. Wahed, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Welcome.
And before we get to the film, though, when I watched it, one of the things that I found so powerful about it was via the presence of the children. And so after I watched it, I figured that the first question that I would really feel like asking you was about you and what was your childhood like? I mean, how would you describe your childhood growing up in Syria?
The main thing I can really remember how I was really living in fairy tale, and I was really like going into all these stories like Remy or Zorro, and you know, like that's very hard and tough struggle in the life. When I was like really watching all of these cartoons and feeling so much like one of these characters, I've never expected that like one day I will really face something even like harder of everything I've seen when I was young.
Right, yeah. And we'll get into that later. But when did you awaken to an alternative reality from what you defined as a sort of a fairy tale childhood?
That's when I was very young, like around 4, 5 to maybe 7. But then I like was like living as any child in this world where we go to school, we back, we care so much about our future and what we will be when we will be like out of the university and where we want to like continue our life, how we like what next, you know, and being like mom or not even get married and all of these questions. And then I think like the main thing where I faced that very clearly was when the Syrian revolution started. And for me was like not hard decision at all. I didn't even maybe like think probably about which side I want to be. It was very clear for me, as so many other Syrians, that we should go in this way to the end. And we knew that since we step this, like to this journey, we will never be able like to return back. I think in one way or another, there's some like flashback coming to my mind now when I was in Aleppo. Like when I knew, for example, I was pregnant, or then when we were in the middle of the siege and I had Sama in my hand and I knew that I'm pregnant again. Like the moment when we had to leave Aleppo and we knew that there's no other option for us. You know, all of this like things coming to my mind all every day, reminding me that, yeah, like that things that I so when I was like young, it wasn't just like a fairy tale story or like something coming from imagination. It was real life for other people. It became for us now. And unfortunately, it could even like still like happening to other children as we speak now.
Yes, that's true. And that's why we will be talking about Action for Sama later as well, which was sort of born out of the reaction, the positive reaction that this film has received from all over the world. But just to continue with just talking about you. So if I understand correctly, you didn't think that you would be a part of something like this. But once the revolution began, you knew right from the start that you wanted to play an active role in it.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, as Syrians, we've never knew what freedom means. We've never even felt any link or contact with our country, Syria. I like really remember very well, like all the people who I know, all my friends at the university, everything we were caring about just like to finish our, to graduate, finish our study and then go outside of Syria because we've never had any plan to do something inside Syria. And when the Syrian revolution started, it was the first time we feel that we are existed, or we have right in this country, we have even like responsibility. And I think just the Syrian revolution gave us so much like feeling that, yeah, it's our country. We need to do something. We need to like continue our life here.
Were you also filming before then? I mean, was this something that you did or did you start using the camera with the revolution?
No, it was with the revolution. Yeah, I knew when I was around like 15 that I strongly want to be a journalist. But in Syria, it was something very hard. And it was something like, there's not even like future for you if you will be a journalist. If you will be like a real journalist and do real work, do real change in your community, you will be like definitely in prisons. And if you are just like want to be a journalist as like kind of like writing what the regime will tell you, and they control every letter you will write in this like work. So you don't need to do that if you will be just like as a toy, you know, in the hand of the regime. But then I went to do something totally different, and I did economic. But I wanted to do like journalism when I will finish this and when I will be out of Syria. But then when the Syrian revolution started, it was just like a very natural response to what was happening. We were going out to the street, demonstrating and protesting for our rights, and the regime was denying everything. And the simple and the easy, the obvious thing we should do as Syrian people, that documenting, filming, capturing every video, every sound, every like picture, we could like, you know, prove that this is what's happening.
But this is interesting to me, because obviously the act of documenting the uprising was very dangerous, but it was also necessary for you to communicate what was happening, like you said. But I'm wondering, what was that process like, and how did you know where to, who to give the images that you took, or even how to store them? Where did you keep them? You know, it's just to understand, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't know really what to do. We were just trying to do our best to organize our work and make the right connection with the right people. And, you know, like to know even how to film, because this is not just like something as obvious for any filmmaker or journalist. There was so much things to think about as you taking these photos or videos or sounds. You know, like none of the people who are in these videos should be like identified. You know, like it's not just about showing their face, but not sound should be like clear, so the security forces will not be recognizing these people, which like we need to protect these people. The second thing is, you know, like how to upload this material and where to upload them, how you can reach like the channels outside while like the regime, for example, cutting all the internet around, and even like to deal with the right people with your community, because the regime was also like spending so much effort and money to make people like not connected to each other and not trust each other. And like we were just trying, you know, like to figure out how to do this stuff. I remember like the first time I took some videos, I showed them to my cousin who was like more professional than me. And I was very happy like that I was able to capture like an amazing scene from a demonstration at Aleppo University. And I was like kind of shocked when he told me like, wow, this is not working at all. You can't use this for anyone. And I was like, so what the problem? The scene is very good. The like people are like not even clear as their faces. He said, yeah, but yeah, you are chanting with them and it's very easy for the like security forces to identify you. And I remember like I spent maybe the whole like first year where I can't use any of my material for any like news at that time, because it was like not good enough for them.
Oh, right. But when did you start thinking that you could use these things that you had shot to make a film, a full documentary?
For an example, like the main footage I had when I was at the university, I used them in For Sama, which is like 5 years later, and in a place where like no one of the people who were in that big protest, they are even now, could be like now in Aleppo. So there was like really no plan, but as much as important at that time to like do some news report and send to the resources to the channels outside, it was very important to document and keep all of this footage, even like the footage which at that time would not be like works for any news report or for any like film at that time. But this is very important to save the serious story and how we can really like make our experience and our everything we are going through is like saved forever. I think the main thing which was coming to my mind, as so many other people have similar situations, we've never expected that we will be survived. And for this, you know, like everything we were trying to capture, because we knew that we can't protect ourselves, but we can protect like our story.
For Sama is very much also your story, Wad. And as all these horrific things that we see throughout the documentary are happening all around you, we see you trying to start a family. You know, you get married, have a beautiful baby. I mean, was this also a sign of your optimism? In other words, did you try to live a normal life because you were feeling hopeful about the future?
Yeah, like I think since the Syrian Revolution started and when we saw how people are really hunger for freedom, dignity and the basics like rights that we have, we should have as Syrians, as any human being all over the world, I think we had so much hope, because before the Syrian Revolution started, I think no one of us like was there even to think that this is could happen. What happened in Syria at that time, it really broke so much of the fear in our hearts, in our minds, in our even memory. And I think, yeah, the hope that we have at that time, even today now, like it's been 9 years later and I'm now displaced out of Syria after everything we've been through. Every time I'm watching the early demonstrations in Syria in 2011 and 12, I feel so much like hope. And even today when I see and I hear what's happening right now in Syria with the demonstration that coming out from Suwaida, a city in the south of Syria, I still like feel, yeah, very much hopeful and very much like amazing feeling that, yeah, what we've done was something very important and very powerful, and we really like still have hope from this moment.
Yeah. And, you know, another thing that I wanted to say was that in this film, one of the most powerful things is the depiction of being a parent at a time of war. And just forgetting about the film, but remembering what that moment was like and just feeling that, speaking with someone who has no similar experience, I mean, how would you describe being a parent during those days?
I would say, like, you know, it's very mixed between feeling as any parent all over the world, you know, like there's so much worries we have as parents. Like we even like before our first, like, or second even child, like is born, we are thinking about, you know, like which university he will get in. And we think about so much like things from his future. And like, you know, some of these moments we live it as it is in that situation. And sometimes it's even like more deeply in the feeling and in the emotions of that moment. Sometimes you just forget where are you, and the only like feeling you had is that you are a parent and you have this little baby, which means the whole life for you. On the other side, of course, there is so much of the fears and the scary moment when you know exactly, you know, like what does that mean if you lost this child? You can see that from so many people who you live with around, and sometimes you can see that like as one scenario is coming to your mind like 24 hours. We know at that point that I can't even protect myself to make sure that I can protect my child. Everything we are doing, everything we are fighting for, it's all for them. It's for that future. It's for that the next generation, that it's really for them. And we know that this sacrifice could be very like high, but it's very important, because without this, we will never like reach that point.
I also wanted to ask you about just filming these situations, especially in the hospital. You know, this is a very simple question. And again, I will readily admit to having no experience that's anything like this. But as you went on, and you said that for you, it was also a learning process in, you know, shooting things with the camera. But for you yourself, personally, did it get any easier coming in contact with these scenes every day for years?
To be very honest, like, that wasn't the case at all in this situation. Like, specifically when we are talking about my whole life was behind this camera. I had to film, but I know that the moment when I'm turning this camera off, I have my daughter here, I have my husband, and, you know, like, there is no way of getting out from this situation. So when I was watching this again and again, there was so much coming to my mind more. There was so much, like, challenging of how you can, you know, like, give your child the best positive feeling while you are feeling just death around you all the time. It was really hard.
This film has now been screened internationally, and it recently won an award at the Migration Film Festival. It's done a lot to raise awareness, right?
Yeah.
As part of that, Action for Sama was a new initiative that you launched. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, actually, while we were working on the film, we've never expected that the film would be like seen wild world. And we've never even expected that people will care and will want to do something to the Syrian people. And I was glad that I was wrong in this expectation. And when the film was released, so many people came to us with tears, with so much anger, with so much welling that they want to do something. And for this amazing questions, which we got in every screening, like questions like, what can we do? We launched our impact campaign, and it's called Action for Sama. Our main message was to talk about attacking hospitals. Our main message was stop bombing hospitals. We raised this sign in Cannes Film Festival and in so many other amazing platforms. And we just like try to provide people with kind of tools where they can be participate and can be do something on for the Syrian people on the ground. There's part of the campaign where people can donate to the amazing heroes who are still working until today inside Syria, like Mulham team. And there's also like part to be in solidarity with the Syrian people who still until today like feeling and having the same experience and even worse of what I had. Also, there is like kind of some political movement where people can sign a petition or write to their MP, ask them about what like tell them about Syria and about what's happening and ask them what they are planning to do regarding the Syria situation.
Yeah, that's excellent. I think there's a website that people can go on, right?
Yeah, www.actionforsama.com.
To find out more, yes. I wanted to ask you just to end this. Are you hoping to return to Aleppo? And do you think that that's a possibility?
I mean, to be very honest, like as reality, I think this is kind of very long term. I don't expect this could happen soon. But of course, you know, like expectation is totally different from what we hope. And like I sleep and wake up every day, like hoping that it will be like as soon as possible. I just like feel now I'm living now in London. I'm very happy with this life here. But I can't stop thinking about Aleppo and about being me, my two daughters living there. And just like, you know, like do what we want to do.
Yes. So you hope to go back, but you don't think that it will be anytime soon. But I think that your film will do much to raise awareness. And I think that what you're doing is wonderful and the film is very powerful. So congratulations once again. And thank you very much for speaking with us about it. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.